tell a different story. That's not a story that goes.
This
on
is
the, on
real life. This is real life. This is what people do. They record their podcasts, however they are. They just move through. They plow through.
Right.
Yeah. I shouldn't have said plow. I shouldn't have said plow.
No, I'm just thinking about farmers. That is how farmers do record their podcasts. Yeah. This week on the farm, we'll just plow through. Okay. Hello and welcome to episode 467 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tubingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam. Yes, still here.
In the five. Rolling in the five. It's got to be getting to be the Christmas in full swing in the five.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's really picking up steam.
That's the yearbook answer, Jim.
Okay.
That's what they said in the yearbook, Jim.
Keep on trucking. That's what I wrote. Well,
We don't have the quite the build up here as we do, which is not necessarily true. We have it in different ways. Like we have Christmas markets. The Christmas market in Tubingen open tonight, it's only 3 days. It's a very small one. Some of them go for like a month, and I don't know if I'll even go this year, which is weird. I've always been, but you know, once you've had Glühwein, you're all set.
Mm-hmm.
But so that does happen, but it doesn't get the ramp up. Like most people don't put their Christmas trees up until December 24th, and then take it down on the 6th of January, and that's the 12 days of Christmas. There you go. You learned something.
Yeah.
But in Vancouver, I kind of appreciate the build up so much so that we actually will buy our tree tomorrow. We'll go cut our own tree down, and we'll actually put it up a little bit early, bucking with tradition here, just to sort of get the build up to Christmas.
Okay.
So what's going on there? What is the build up? What have you been doing? Amazon. Let's get to Amazon first.
Okay. All right. We've been doing that.
Because I realize that we're going to either, this is going to be what's going on, / did you shoot anything interesting? Because I'll bet you shot what you did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, it's a photo show, so that's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah, but we're talking about Amazon. Yeah, Amazon.
Click through our site. Go to twohosers.com. You'll see the Amazon links on the right hand side or the bottom if you're on a mobile platform. Click through there and do all your Amazon shopping right there. It helps us out. Same experience for you, better experience for us.
Okay.
I have been going nuts on Amazon this week.
Okay, is this for Christmas or just because?
Both, probably for Christmas too. Like it was kid's birthday last week, and then so there was some of that. I think I didn't buy anything on Amazon for that. I've been buying so many things that I've been losing track of. Can I tell you one thing I did get that it's a surprise, but no, it's a Christmas present for me.
Okay,
I'm gonna get more. I'm gonna get a bunch of Christmas presents for me this year. This year is gonna be a big year for me.
Okay.
All of them on Amazon too. Like a lot of, there's going to be a lot of power tools that are coming my way. But I bought a Rubik's Cube.
A new one.
A new one. Yeah. Well, mine is from 1980.
Okay, so you wanted like, for one real, of these it, fast it, ones, the speed
yeah.
ones.
Oh yeah, mine's made of cement. Like it is like mine's legitimately from 1980. Well, when did the craze start? It was about then, I think. So I do have the original, and it moves like it has arthritis, so it's bad.
Okay.
So I said, you know what? Maybe I deserve a good one, but you know what? They're hard to find here. The actual on brand Rubik's Cube. So I bought, I think it's a knockoff, but it's a good knockoff. Like it's even better. Like they perfected the Rubik's Cube.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most of the ones that the kids have are not the Rubik's brand because the Rubik's brand are not good.
Right. So I got one that's cool, and so it showed up. It's gonna go in my stocking, and but I tried it once, and I was like, yeah, it's fast. It's faster than me.
Okay.
So I did buy that. But I've been buying a ton of stuff. Like this has been crazy. Not even Christmas stuff. What did I bought a bunch of stuff. But for example, this is, I don't know, is this where we are in society? I kind of like this. I'm not going to apologize. My boot lace frayed at the end, like 2 days ago. Boom, out it went. So it's tough to lace up, right?
Yeah.
You know how that works, right? Sure. You're familiar. Like, I know you wear Velcro shoes and a life helmet, but...
Right.
I know how
laces work. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I was like, you know what? I got to go track down the exact kind of, like, I don't know which stores have them all over. I'm going to go on Amazon. Bam. Next day, a pack of three boot laces just handed to me at the front door.
Wow.
I love this. And they're great. They're nice and thick.
It's a utopia we're living in.
Yeah. I think so.
Okay.
I'll try to make a list of all the 1,000 things I bought this week, but it's I'm not going to. It was a lot of great stuff. All right, so what's going on, Adam? Tell us about Christmas, the lead into Christmas.
That's around here we're probably pretty tame, so lights are up because we do that early, and
right.
Christmas tree is up, and now
you have a real tree or no?
No, we're always fake tree.
I mean, it's real, like you can touch it, like it's not a hologram.
Yeah, it's not a hologram, right. It's just artificial. So we've done all that, the decorating. The kids have their advent calendars where, you know, basically just an excuse to eat chocolate every day. So they've got that going. And then, yeah.
Elf on the Shelf, is that still a thing?
No, they don't do that anymore. So
with your elf?
It's just stuffed into a stocking as a decoration.
Okay.
He is hanging out. He's not suffocating. He is, his head is emerging from the stocking, but yeah, he's just a decoration now.
Right.
And yeah, we haven't really done a lot of Christmassy activities. My wife likes to do that, but we did go to one of these sort of privatized light display places that are now a thing in
Vancouver. That sounds sexy. The way you describe it.
It's called Glow, and it's a company that does it, and they have a few locations. I want to say there's one out in Abbotsford, you know, which is a ways from Vancouver, maybe 45 minutes to an hour outside of Vancouver, and then they have one downtown in Vancouver. So my wife wanted to do this when her parents were in town as sort of a family Christmassy type activity.
Whereabouts in Vancouver is that? Are you talking? Whereabouts downtown?
It was right downtown. It was near the convention center.
Okay, so by there's the Christmas market, Vancouver Christmas market's there.
Yeah, I don't think it had started yet.
It's by the torches, though, right? Like by the Olympic torch.
That's where the Christmas market is, yeah.
Yeah. And so this is next to that?
It's close-ish. It was in like a another building, but in the general vicinity, yes.
Oh, it's inside?
It was inside. This was an inside one.
So the
allure was, you know, this was definitely, I think, sort of geared towards younger kids and parents who wanted to keep them out of the cold. So sort of as an alternative to like Van Dusen Gardens. I didn't really, in my honesty, didn't know anything about this going in. I'd heard that such a thing exists. And my wife said, here's what we're doing. And I think it's because Van Dusen Gardens, when we went, wasn't open until the following day and her parents were in town. So we needed something to do. And so they decided this and it was fine. It was what you'd expect from a big open indoor space with lots of light displays and little things for small children to do. But as far as an activity for adults, I thought it was very.
What does that set you back?
Underwhelming. No, I don't know what the tickets were, but it wasn't cheap. I'm going to say an adult was at least $25 a person.
Whoa, and maybe, I was going to say 16, and I thought that.
No, it was more than that, and it might have even been closer to 30. I don't know because I didn't buy the tickets and wasn't paying a ton of attention. There was a family rate for four, but it was still, I'm going to say, over $25 a person. Maybe the kids were slightly cheaper, but anyways, it was underwhelming for what it was. Like the kids actually enjoyed it. Jack and Sarah, being what I thought was a bit old for what this was, they still liked it. And it seemed definitely dedicated to walking around and taking selfies. That was what I got from it. It was like a whole bunch of kind of set up kind of spots where you could take photos and then post to Instagram and they get more people to overspend to come and attend.
Oh, so they had the hashtags ready to go, right?
I don't know that I didn't see that specifically, but just looked like a ton of staged photo
spots.
Do they
have AI hashtags? Like what I would imagine what they could do is like the artificial intelligence could read your image and automatically hashtag it Glow Vancouver.
Maybe.
That should be a thing. I don't know if that's a thing or not. I'm sure someone's invented that.
Maybe.
Yeah. Okay, but now did they have the selfie booths that I've seen?
I don't know what that is.
You have not seen these. These actually, I'm kind of, you know, my policy on selfies. I'm not actually anti selfie. Believe it or not, I'm okay. Mostly anti selfie stick. I actually I'm guilty of having taken a handful of selfies. I'm not Joe Selfie, but I'm not as stink face about it as people would think. Okay. I think like when you are doing the selfie, like you should embrace the fact that your arm is going to look like Popeye's arm, and there's certain limitations that, like, this photo's going to suck, but that's part of the charm.
Okay.
Right?
Sure.
So the fact that you would have to go then get a selfie stick to then make it a good photo now kind of negates the whole thing, and that's the part I don't like. I'd rather you ask somebody to take the picture for you. That's where the selfie stick comes in. But so they've got these booths, which I think are kind of a cool idea, which are basically these giant, like, LED panel booths where it's just like it's like a giant soft box that you stand in and you get this really great soft lighting from every angle, and they encourage you to take selfies in them.
Okay.
So it's kind of a cool, and they probably have the automatic hashtags or something like that. I'm not sure what they do.
Got it.
So there was none of those then.
No, nothing I saw. I posted a couple of photos, and so you can kind of see what I mean by, you know, sort of spots. Like, I mean, there was an actual train. It was really more of a golf cart towing a bunch of other little carts in a circle.
All right.
And I posted a photo of Sarah and her aunt in the train. So You can see that's a very well-lit photo for this environment, which was very dark and very backlit. But
this is no flash. Is this just 100%?
This is no flash. This is LED light. So this is the little portable LED light that
brought.
Yeah, that I brought. So this is my move now and forever. Well, no, not now. I've done it in the past years. And so I basically reserve that LED light for Christmas photos in front of bright lights. Like, that's my use for it. And it's paid for itself in that use. Sometimes birthday photos too, but I can just use, especially in a dark environment with all these bright lights, I can balance them out quite nicely in whatever color temperature I want, because the LED light that I have, you can adjust color temperature in quite a wide range. So it's really handy for this. So there you can see a photo of my daughter and her aunt in the train. That was one example. There's one of my wife in front of just, you know, basically you get an idea of what it is there. It's just like lights everywhere in every which direction. Right. So there's one of my wife standing in front, sort of a long line of different lights.
And which camera did you bring?
That's the 6D with just a 50 mil. I've been using the Fuji camera almost exclusively. And so I felt that, you know what, I'm going to take the SLR for this, not knowing exactly what it was and just kind of thinking, okay, 50 millimeter with enough space, I should be able to do everything I need, but also maybe take a few more close-ups and really blow out the background. So I took the 50 millimeter and I thought just that alone is a pretty small setup. And that's what I went with. And then you can also see
You felt a little bit bad too, right? For your 6D. You're like, it's like, when if I've been out three Saturdays in a row with my girlfriend, I'm like, oh, probably take the wife out this week.
And I specifically included in this group of photos, you see, there's one of my wife that's just kind of a very simple kind of state shot. There's one of my wife and kids inside of like one of these, photo frames. It's just hanging from the ceiling in different places. So it's like, this is what I meant by sort of staged setup. Like, this really basic. There's a frame and then there's just some lights in behind. It's like, okay, stand here and take a photo on this fake artificial turf ground sort of thing. But what I wanted to specifically, I included a group shot, which is, here's where the trade-off is because this photo, I can't get back far enough. So I've got my 50 millimeter on a full frame and I'm just right back up against, you know, I'm trying to get a kind of wider shot that I don't want people in the background. And of course, this is an event where there's people everywhere. So it's very difficult to shoot a group shot and not be blocking people and where they're walking. And so I'm thinking, okay, this is where I wish I had the Fuji and I could basically just get a little bit more environment in the shot. And there's the trade-off. So the photo is fine, but it's really kind of, there's not much background. It's just a shot of the group. And I guess you can tell they're in some sort of event where there's lights, because you do get a little bit of that. But
I think it's just fine.
It's fine. No, exactly. It's fine. But I would have liked to have done better. But that was the big limitation. Is there was nowhere I could put them to keep all the people out of the background and still get the lights. And if I had 20 more feet, I could have had a much better picture. But there just wasn't that space. And sure. So wider angle, but you know, I wasn't going to take multiple lenses. And so of course, you go. That's what you get.
I think this would be a better photo if your mother-in-law knew where you were standing.
Yeah. That's funny. She's looking off. The other thing about this photo is, I'm standing as far as, I mean, like that's, I don't know that that photo's even cropped, but I'm standing as far away as I can get. So let's say 20 feet. And this is, they would be in darkness if not for that LED light. So that LED light is basically...
With your hand holding with your left
hand. Hand holding in my left hand and sort of trying to get the light on their faces so that I don't blow out all the lights in the background. Does a pretty good job for six people like in this image. Yeah. So again, another reason that everyone should go out this Christmas and buy one of those. They are fantastic. You must spend a bit of money. I bet you the prices really come down from when I bought mine, whatever, 4 or 5 years ago, but super handy to have. Yeah.
You know what? Save that for your list later on.
Spoiler alert. I don't even think I put it on the list, but it's going on now.
Yeah, it is going on now. No, it's actually something I've been meaning to buy. Like I want one of the little ones, but I also want a big one too. Like on a stand that I can use for actual lighting, like lighting interviews and whatnot.
I think this one is probably could do that. Like it's not a little one; it's a pretty like it's the size of I'm going to say the face of it's the size of an iPad for people's reference. That's kind of and it goes really bright, so the brightness is adjustable and the color temperature is adjustable. So I could see that for an interview, especially just you know one person, that would be probably plenty with a reflector.
Yeah, that'd be a good setup. So I do want one that is much larger, that's going to light like a big softer light than that, but you know, hey, why not get two?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I do love the idea that it's handheld and portable and just dialed in like that. I honestly can't believe I don't have one yet.
Okay.
Back to Amazon real quick. One thing I did buy today didn't come. It'll come tomorrow because you have to wait a whole day now. I don't know if you knew that.
Sometimes you do. Yeah.
Yeah. Bought something photo related. I'll give you 100 guesses. You won't get it, but just give it one guess. What I bought photo related
that you didn't have. Like this isn't buying a double up on something that you already had.
Correct.
Brand new. How? Like, give us a price range. Just give me a ballpark price.
I bought some Polaroid film.
Oh, I thought we were playing a game where I was. Yeah, it was,
but you were asking for too many clues, and I was like. All right, well, I'll just tell you the price. It was just like 52 euros or something like that.
Okay. Do I still get to guess or is the guess?
Yeah, go ahead and guess. You go ahead and
guess. Polaroid film.
No, I bought a LED light panel.
Okay.
Well, I bought some Polaroid.
Good deal.
My kids have like, well, so your daughter has one of the little Polaroids, right?
She does. Yeah. Buried somewhere in a closet that hasn't seen the light of day in probably 2 years. Yeah.
Right. Right. And so, my friends of ours a couple years ago, their kid had one of those little Instamax or whatever they're called.
Yeah.
So they brought one over and my kids thought that was the greatest thing of all time and they wanted one. And I said, well, no, I'm not going to buy you one of those. But longtime listener, Marion Maid, had sent me his old actual Polaroid camera probably like a year, I would say maybe more, a year ago. Okay. And I just never got around to shooting it. And I was like, you know what? Rather than go and spend like 100 euros on one of those cameras and then buy the film, the little mini film, which the mini film was cheaper, right? Like it's about $1 a photo probably.
Yeah. I'd say it's about that. I think that sounds right. But
it's a little over $2 a photo for the real Polaroids.
Okay.
But they're huge. I mean, they're huge. They're like four times the size, right?
Yeah.
So that they are big. They are big images. But I figured, okay, well, rather than go out and drop the $100 on that, I have that Polaroid, and I also happen to pick up a Polaroid, what is it, Polaroid 1000 or something, just a basic 1970s Polaroid, no flash, nothing. I bought it at a flea market about a year and a half ago, something like that, for $3.
Okay.
And so I figure, okay, so I'm in, I got two Polaroids for no money, and so now it's just the cost of the film. I can buy a bunch of film rather than go buy a new smaller camera and then buy the slightly cheaper film. I'll just buy the big film and let them have fun with it.
Gotcha.
So I bought a two pack of color for the one camera. They take, unfortunately, both the cameras take two different kinds of Polaroid film. One's the XS70 and one's the Polaroid 600. So one had a double pack of the 600 for eight photos in each for I think that was like $33 for the 16 photos.
Okay.
And then the other one I think was 16 for the eight photos.
Gotcha.
So I'm kind of excited, but I want to get it across to my kids that, you know, I want to show them, here, this is $2 a photo. Don't mess around.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
Yeah, here you go. This is your film for the year.
I'm going to take pictures of my cereal. I'm going to take pictures of what's under the table.
It'll be people only. It'll be people photos only. I don't know. I kind of like the kitsch value of it. And you say your daughter has one?
She does have one. Yeah,
not there's your
a
son.
Phase where. No, he's never really been that interested in photos. Like, yeah, it's not my daughter much more so than him. That's for sure.
But it is sort of a phase that phased out.
Yeah, I'd say it's mostly phased out. Well, now it's all replaced by the phone, right? Like she has a phone, so she does take tons of photos, but they're all 98% of them are selfies, and it's the idea of like, okay, where am I right now? Okay, I'm here, I'm there, I'm everywhere of social media that I'm not a participant in. That's her version of photography. So like, I guess 89% of the population.
Oh, no, definitely high, and no judgment. I understand. I'm hoping my kids will appreciate the sort of kitsch value, at least for, you know, a week and a half. And then it'll be like, all right, enough of this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see.
Well, here's the appreciation I think that my daughter has in the photography is that when they went to Glow, you know, she was taking her own photos on her phone and getting my wife to take photos of her and her aunt on her phone. And so they took a bunch of photos. And then I said, oh, and you know, it's the world we live in where they post those, you know, immediately. And then I, you know, a couple of days later, I, you know, edited the photos that I had taken. And I was like, oh, do you want any of these photos? No, I'm good. I already took those on my phone. So I don't know. Yeah. I don't know that she really has a deep appreciation of the photos that I took. Mine are better, Dad. I think mine are just better.
Well, they are. But here's the thing is much like the news these days, like the news media / industry, whatever they are, there's little value placed on what's the word I'm looking for? Being good on talent, on quality. That's the word I'm looking for. The Q word. There's a very little emphasis put on quality, and it's all about speed, being first. You gotta be first. It doesn't matter if you're right. It's first. It's immediacy, and so that's how I know. Not just kids. I mean, that's how everybody is with their photos too. It's like, yeah, sure. Adams are probably framed better and balanced lighting, but this one, it happened already. We're gone and done now. It's over.
Yeah,
we got it.
Yeah, yeah.
Moving on. So I wonder now. See, I wonder how that's going to go later on because see, I just got another photo album printed. My son had a birthday, and as you know, every year I get a photo album printed for the kids on their birthday, 100 photos from the previous year. And, you know, like him mostly him and other people, like that's, you know, and the activities that he's doing. Right. Mm-hmm. Sort and now like they like them right now. I know when they're 18, they're going to love them.
Right.
So I wonder how your daughter is going to feel in 10 years about these disposable pictures that she's just taking and throwing away.
I can't believe I just explained what disposable meant. I think we all think we all knew.
Sure.
That's why I called it that. But she's taking these disposable pictures. Will they age like a bottle of wine or just be vinegar and spit them out and who cares? Whereas yours will mean something in 10 years.
Maybe.
I don't expect an answer. Yeah, no, they will. They will. Of course they will. Look at the pictures you took. Like I was going through some pictures of for something, and I came across some photos I shot at your house at Christmas 10 years ago of your daughter putting the star on whatever, or angel on the tree or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, like even I was like, wow, that was a really fun day. Like I remember that. And you know, that aged well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they will. I think there'll be a much better appreciation for dad's photos later on.
I agree. I think so.
All right. So speaking of that, birthday, had a birthday for my son, which was, you know, half a dozen 6 and 7 year olds came over. So that was just Lord of the Flies at my house.
Mm-hmm.
That's
who won? Who won the birthday?
Oh, not me. Me and the house lost. From now on, like we were gonna go ice, because we like to go ice skating. We were gonna go ice skating, and then thought, well, not enough kids do it, and I don't have to babysit all the kids, so we just had them at our house instead. Never again, Adam.
Yeah, you said that after your Halloween party. And you
yeah, you're right.
Lesson.
I probably did. I probably did. I that was awesome. But here's how this went. Now, I have a couple questions for you regarding your thoughts on this. Now, I asked my son. So we have his actual birthday on that day is when family comes over and we have dinner and birthday cake and etc. And then it's typical here to then the next day or whatever, a couple days later, whatever the schedule works, is you have the kid's birthday where all his buddies come over and they do something, right?
Yeah.
So we're having dinner both days. Like we're making dinner. It's a dinner event. And so I say to my kid, I'm like, hey man, like what do you want? Well, for the family, I want the pork tacos that you make, Dad. I love tacos. I was like, yeah, you betcha. Of course, great answer. And then for my kid's birthday, I want spaghetti and meatballs. Another great answer. So these are both slow cooker, like crock pot meals, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Which I'm a big fan of. And this was kind of a roundabout way for me to get into the fact to ask you, A, do you have a crock pot? And B, if not, why not?
We do. Yeah. We went through a crock pot phase for probably a good year and a half. And then we've just kind of fallen out of the crock pot phase. So, yeah.
I'm a fan. I'm a fan of the pulled pork tacos, and that's a crock pot.
For sure. Pulled pork is terrific in the crock pot. Or so, I guess slow cooker is what I would refer to it as.
I guess. Yeah. And so I made that. That was all great. And the next night we had spaghetti. So I made the spaghetti sauce again, the meatballs in the slow cooker. That's my move. Here's a little tip for you. Don't brown the meatballs ahead of time. Just put them in raw, let them cook all day. And the fat just shows up right in the sauce. It's fantastic. So point being, I do a nice, make all the meatballs the day before, do a big slow cooker thing, have the kids over. Five of the kids just wanted plain spaghetti noodles with nothing on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's that about?
We have one of those kids. Took him until he was 9 before he was interested in meatballs. So I understand that.
I was heartbroken. I was like, you guys don't understand. Like, you know, my son, he ate enough for 3 kids. He ate like 12 meatballs. But so that was fine. I was like, all right, that's fine. But five of the 7 kids are just like, no, just plain noodles.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You can leave now.
I you would have had to kick Jack out because he was one of those kids. He isn't any longer, but it took a long time for him to come around on that. I don't know if it's a texture thing or whatever, but yeah, he had his first cheeseburger like 2 weeks ago. Jack did.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. He's 10. So.
What? What does he do at McDonald's?
Either an egg McMuffin. So he's a breakfast all day. He's a breakfast all day guy. So egg McMuffin. Okay. So he likes the bacon and egg McMuffin. That's his go-to. And when he was younger, it used to be like, if we went to McDonald's, it was like chicken McNuggets.
Well, that's excellent.
But he had his forever, you know, been like, hey, you want to, you know, try something else? And finally tried a cheeseburger. And he's like, this is terrific. Like, most of the adventurous eating that he's done over the years has been going to friends' houses, and then, you know, you stay for dinner and you just have to eat whatever they serve you. So that's right. really for, because he's also not the kind of kid that if you put that in front of him at a friend's house, he cannot, he's incapable of saying, no, I won't eat that. Okay. So he'll force it down. So he's forced down enough different things over the years to figure out, hey, there's a lot of other stuff I like other than just noodles, plain noodles or grilled cheese. Like, but he's always unwilling to try it unless right. he's in that scenario. So now, I mean, he has a couple of trips to friends' houses a week, and it's just taken us 10 years to now.
And plus in Richmond, like the good news is like you're getting a real mix of cultures in Richmond.
Oh yeah, so he's now.
So you're gonna go. You're getting Chinese food. You're getting curry. You're getting.
Oh yeah, everything. Pemberton. Everything under the sun. Yeah. No. He has now a much broader spectrum of things he'll eat because of going to many friends' houses. But again, it's taken until he's 10. So to have a McDonald's cheeseburger. So
see, that's funny because my kids are good with the eating for the most part. My daughter's a little bit picky, but my son, he's all good. He's in. But when it comes to watching stuff on Netflix or whatever, no, they just want to watch the same old thing over and over and over again. They're big fans of The Irishman right now, but they just like, no. So, and we tried something new the other day. We're like, all right, let's try something new. We're going to watch as a family, some Christmas show all together. So I'd heard about, there's this show on, it's called The Night for Christmas or something like that?
Sure.
It's like The Night, K-N-I-G-H-T.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't seen the movie, but I've seen the little thing, the little thumbnail up on Netflix, yeah.
Okay. So if, when you're going to go, you decide to go watch it, just quickly go out to the front door of your house and smash your thumb in the door. you'll enjoy that more than that, what they call a movie.
Okay.
We got 10 minutes in and I literally stood up and set fire to my television in case I accidentally ever saw a frame of that piece of crap again.
Wow. That's harsh. Yeah.
Yeah. It was unbelievable. Hey guys, what you doing? Why did you do that?
Right. Yeah.
So there you go. There you go. Okay. So that was the one time we veered away from what the kids normally watch. And that was the result. I was like, all right, I guess you're just going to keep watching Paw Patrol. All right. All right. So get a lot of photos printed for Christmas, calendars, team calendars. I printed a team calendar for the baseball team of all the covers from the last couple of years.
No, but you had mentioned that that's something you might do. So that's awesome.
We did it. I was worried about, I was like, oh man, like we're going to sell zero of these, right? Like I was worried. I'm always worried about that. And so so the lady who, you know, on the executive, she's like, oh, how many, what should we do? And I said, well, let's get 10 of them. They cost $10 each to print, and we'll sell them for like $20 or something like that. It's a fundraiser for the team. And so I was like, all right, let's get 10 and then we'll sell them at the Christmas market this weekend. And hopefully we sell 5 and just break even. That's my goal.
Right.
And I think she sold like 20 before the Christmas market even started.
So she was printing more than you had suggested, right?
We printed the 10 and then got them shipped, and she said, hey, can you order more? She'd already pre-sold them based on, you know, social media. People saw them and wanted to get them. So I think we're going to do pretty well.
Cool.
So I'm excited about that. So I got those printed. And then getting a lot of photos printed for Christmas. All right, reminder, monthly challenge for November or December is blue and orange, or orange and teal if you prefer. Hashtag that, Two Hosers Monthly Challenge, hashtag Hey Hosers on Instagram. We'll check that out. Even better, if you tag us, physically tag us in the photo at Two Hosers, we are sure to see it and then find it later when we want to talk about it. And then remember, January will be self-portrait, where we learn something about you. February will be portrait again of a non-family member. All right, shoot anything interesting? Yes, you did. We already talked about that. I did, but I'm going to talk about that on a future show. Of a new technique. I'm sure somebody already, Brennizer probably already invented it, but it's a new technique that I kind of sent you a couple texts about, which I'm kind of interested in, and we will talk about that in a future episode.
Okay.
Photo challenge this week was 4x5 vertical. So, why? Just real quick, we'll talk about aspect ratios coming up in about 2 weeks, I think, is the plan. This was geared towards that, but why 4x5?
Because it's an 8x10, and that's a pretty common size that people print. Or maybe is that an Instagram thing? Or
that's your Instagram wheelhouse.
Okay,
that's how you use the most real estate on Instagram. So let's have a look at yours first. I'm this one's just staring right at me. It's looking right through me. This guy.
Yeah.
I'm loving this.
I think I mentioned last week that I was going to do a photo shoot for a couple that I've done for the last number of years, I don't know, 3-4 years around Christmas, that I do Christmas photos. And they have, initially when we started doing this a few years back, they kind of bring outfits and dress up the dog. And then there's now two dogs. And so the couple-
I just see the one dog.
Yeah, so there's now two dogs, but this is the other dog. So I think last year around the same time in a photo challenge, I might've used a photo of this dog as a puppy, like running away from the camera, or maybe it was the friends that posted it on theirs and tagged the two hosers. I can't remember how it went, but I used one of their photos last year around Christmas time, because this being an annual shoot. And anyway, so I now took this picture grown up, so it's no longer a tiny puppy. And I was doing a white background shots, which you can imagine, two adults, two dogs, and white background. That's kind of a tricky scenario. Like, the dogs are not necessarily the most cooperative for photos.
Right.
And then factor in white background. So they've got, I mean, you clean their paws up as much as you can. They're still going to leave marks on white paper. So of course it's Vancouver and it was pouring outside when they came to our house. So spent, you know, a fair amount of time just trying to get their paws dry so that they wouldn't leave prints on the paper. And then of course, if there's prints on the paper, then, you know, on the white background, that doesn't look great from a photographic standpoint. So no. Try to do our best. And then to get them to cooperate and sit still, they're feeding them treats, and so, you know, they're eating, and then there's debris, which also on the white paper isn't great photographically. So there was some
Photoshop involved
there in a couple of them. I'm not sure if this one had any, but it's usually just the little bits of debris from the treats, or sometimes a treat that got left behind that's kind of, you know, it wasn't obvious to me. So basically this was the dog right in between lying down and sitting, looking at his owner for the next treat. And I just felt like it spoke to me. So it was,
yes.
And the best part about this shoot was I did it with the Fuji. So I just was going in. They noticed right away. They're like, what's this new camera? You're like, almost as if they're like, hey, wait a second. Is this going to be the same level of quality, considering you're not using the big fancy rig that you usually use when we do this? And I said, not to worry. This camera's amazing. It's going to allow me to do things that otherwise I might not be able to do with the other camera. And so, I did it all with the X100. And basically this was just straight out of camera. And I just added a little bit of texture on the texture slider. So I've got the giant softbox as kind of the key light. And then I've got two more lights on light stands, just flashes on light stands to kind of in behind to light
the white.
To white up the background. And I think on both of them, I have umbrellas. And the reason I did that was because I was using the big paper roll, and I wanted to make sure that I got enough even light, and one of my flash triggers was acting up. So I could do this with bare flash with three lights and flag it off and be a little bit more particular about the background, except for I didn't have that luxury because one of my triggers was acting up. So I had to spray the umbrellas in order to get a more even white on the background, which meant I had to bring my subject more forward to try to not get the spill from the umbrellas. It was a bit of a workaround, but as it turned out, it really made for a nice even light, and I didn't have to do any work on the background this year, which was nice. And then, yeah, the you know, big softbox is lighting the subject, and I think it's an f6, and because of the X100, you're not limited by the shutter speed. So I think I was where I wound up just in terms of balancing the light from the background and the foreground. I think it's like an ISO 400 at about 1/500th of a second. to land where I wanted to land with the aperture. So it really,
the shutter speed shouldn't make a difference.
The shutter speed, but it just allowed me to basically make the shutter speed whatever I wanted, right? Like, yes. So I got everything else in first and then where I wanted it. And then I could just adjust the shutter speed to taste, right? So it was really just the shutter speed for the right flash, for the right exposure. And I have lots of leeway. You're not up against the wall where I have to be at an F8 or I have to be at an F9 or something.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So the X100 here, I love it. And this photo really, to me, it's about the dog has such a sort of, I don't know, wise expression or something. It knows something that we don't. And the texture, like this is like a plush animal. Like what I love about this photo is that the white background with the fluffy kind of texture of this dog is such a good combination. I wouldn't like this in black. Like I would not like this on a black background because you lose all the little furry details that are so great.
Oh, for sure. The color of his fur is perfect with this too.
Yeah. So
this is dialed right in the right color temperature. This, it's all around great. We got great catch lights. The owners have they seen this?
Yeah, and they immediately posted some of the dog photos rather than the big group photos, some of the individual dog photos, just because, I don't know, like some of that gets lost a little bit when you put two dogs, two people, like all the photos, I'm happy with how they all look, but I really like the individual dog shots because, and partly because it's different, right? I don't do this sort of thing very often.
No, I literally do not care about pet photography. I it's not my thing. I just, it's fine. And this one, but this one really is really good. That's how good this is. It made me actually care.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So no, they must be thrilled though.
Yeah. They, and again, because I've done this for a number of years, they've always been happy, but I try to do specific dog ones, each year, just kind of the dogs on their own. And I try to get the two together. We just could not make it happen. It was not happening with this dog, the one in the photo, is a little bit scared of the older one, especially when treats are involved. So one is way more dominant. And so the younger dog here just wouldn't get close enough to actually take a good photo. So we had to do them individually.
Nice.
Well, there you go.
And the aspect ratio is perfect. Like that's the 8x10, the 4x5 is, in this case, absolutely dialed in for what this should be.
And I have to say, I hate the white background. Like, I just hate the whole setup of it. It just, I wish I had a studio and I could just leave it set up because it's such a giant pain in the butt doing this, especially the way I do it in my living room. And like, it takes more time setting up and taking down than it does to do the photo shoot. And so that part is just, it's painful, but I always like the results. So it's a real trade-off for sure. I really don't do the white background very often because of how difficult and time-consuming it is. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I understand. I have a room downstairs which I can use and kind of leave it up for a couple of days if I want. And even then, I'm like, I have to. Can we just, who wants a maroon background with some scratches on the wall? Does that be better?
Yeah.
It's art. It's art. Come on, man. It's art. Yeah. No, I hear you. And I'll actually be doing some white background stuff on Sunday, and I was like, all right, maybe it'll be gray background, but either way, I'm bringing the white background out, but I wasn't thrilled about it. All right.
Okay. All right.
Let's have a look at mine. Mine is also shot with the X100, and that's where the similarities end. So this is my son's birthday party.
Oh, looks like they're playing some kind of game outside.
Yeah, we're playing seven kids go in the woods, six come back.
Uh-oh. This photo looks like Search Party. It looks like, you know, one of those grade six novels that might be the cover of.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This could be the cover of a documentary on Netflix where everything goes wrong.
This is called, went wrong. Hey, out of my house now, children. Wait for your parents.
Well, no, so we always do is because we do know it's going to be Lord of the Flies. We always organize. The big thing here is like, I'm sure it's the big thing everywhere, but kids like to do like a treasure hunt for on their thing. And so, I used to devise a whole, route through the woods and all this stuff and through the fields, and I would have balloons. Like, I'd go out the day before or the morning of and put all these riddles. Like, I'd put a riddle on a piece of paper in a balloon and blow it up and hang it from a tree, and then we'd have to go and pop it, and the kids would have to answer the riddle and then find the next balloon. And I'm getting tired of that now, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I basically just freelance it, and I'm like, all right, well, we're just gonna go and walk around a little bit and go and burn off some energy, and every so often I'll say, oh, here's the next station, and I'll ask them a riddle, and that's how this goes. But earlier in the day, I did go and bury. This is how behind the times we were, behind the schedules we were. I told my wife, okay, I'll go hide the treasure out in the woods, which is basically, it's one of my Amazon boxes for my deliveries with some stuff in it. Usually it's like sweets or something like that, like gummy bears or whatever. But as you can imagine, with Christmas around, you know, the kids have plenty of that. So I was like, what do you do? Like, normally you put like whatever the grab bags are going to be, you put it in the box and that's what you find, right?
Okay.
But what are we giving these? Like, do I have to buy them more stuff they're going to throw out? I don't know. Is it me? Do we not have enough things that we just throw in the garbage? So I was like, oh, what do you do? So I went and I had for their dinner, I'd bought them, each kid got like a little, like a pop bottle, essentially, like a, just call it pop for all, who cares?
Right? Yeah.
So that was the treasure. I went and put like 7 bottles of pop in this box and went and hit it out in the woods. And they were thrilled. They could not have been more thrilled by it. Like, it was the greatest thing. And so we say, yeah, we're going to go outside. We're going to go and you know, hit all these stations, answer 7 questions, 1 for each kid, and then head out into the woods where I had hid the thing. So that's what we did. But we said, okay, each kid, you know, bring a headlamp if you have one. If not, we have extras. So all the kids are going to wear headlamps. And then like 2 of the kids just refused.
It's like, and like probably like, the same ones that didn't want meatballs.
There's a high correlation there. Yes. There's zero overlap, as a matter of fact, on meatballs and not headlamps. And so, and I was like, why would you not wear a headlamp? Like 364 days out of the year, you don't wear a headlamp. So this could be fun. Why wouldn't you? Like, yeah, no, I'm all set. Like, well, you can see it's dark, kid. All right. So, anyways, we're hiking up, and I see this one spot. I'm like, oh, this would actually be kind of a cool photo. So everyone go stand there, and you know, like 85% of you put on your headlamps. And wait, is that the right math? No.
How many kids are there?
7 kids.
7 kids, 5 headlamps.
Yeah, so it's, yeah, whatever it is, it's 557%. What is it? I don't know the math now. Oh, 1 for 2, 8, 5, 7. Yeah, so 71% of the kids have headlamps on. And I was like, all right, wouldn't it be cool if you all had them on, shining in the camera? Here we are. Anyways, this is my shot.
I like it. I like that the tree is kind of like leaning.
Yeah.
It looks kind of spooky, and I like the sky. The sky is, you know, creates a good mood. It's it's a cool photo. I the one kid who's blasting their headlamp, I guess, is just brighter than everyone else's right at the camera. I could do without that one.
That's my son, I believe. Yeah,
is it? His is just way brighter than everyone else's.
Well, yeah, he's like, hey, Dad, look at me, I'm Jesus. And I was like, okay, too soon, dude.
but other than the really bright one, I like it. Yeah, it's a good photo.
Yeah, no, I do like it too. I just the situation of like the ridge line and the sky, like the sky, like the clouds are really cool with the blue light and all that stuff. So yeah. I did like it, and this is another example of why I'm trying to marry the X100. I just love that thing. Like it's I could probably achieve this with the one of the 5Ds that I own, but this just makes it so much easier, and I just love this thing. So,
okay.
Anyway, and the aspect ratio is right in the wheelhouse for a 4x5.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
All right. Topic this week is last minute shopping at this point for Christmas. But I wanted to have three ideas. Each of us come up with three ideas of gifts that you would buy for a new photographer. So, well, you don't, you know, hey, great. Yeah, buy them a brand new, hey, X100F for like $1,200, whatever they cost now, $1,500. No, that's not what I was going for. What I want is for something, somebody who's been shooting for a little bit, maybe listens to the show, for example, and what we would buy for them were we to buy, were we to do that. So do you want to go first or second? Because you have a bunch, actually.
Yeah. Okay. My interpretation of this was, and I think we've said it in years past. I mean, I know we've said it in years past that, okay, so the new photographer, you know, your buddy's getting a camera and you tell him what to get, you know, you maybe a basic SLR at this point, maybe, you know, a used Fuji X100. But then the very first thing, and I'm going to assume they already have this, would be, you know, an external flash. So I'm just assuming that they've got that set up. They've got a camera of sorts, and they've got an external flash. So I right away I took external flash out of the equation. Okay, did you have that on your list? Because I think we every year we say everybody at this point, you know, who's listening to this podcast, we hope that you go out and get an external flash.
Yeah, be right? More specific to external flash.
A flash that isn't a pop up on your camera, so that you actually could mount on your camera to provide
extra light. There we go. That's what we're looking for. Okay. That is the specificity that I was hoping you were going to say.
Okay. So I'm going to assume that that's the setup you have. Maybe you have other things, but I'm going to assume you don't have anything else. And so for Christmas, my three items are to enhance your experience beyond just those two items. Okay. Right. Are you ready? Should we go cheap? Is there a price limit here? Are we going to do it in categories?
You fire away, because I kept mine all relatively cheap.
Okay. So number one, and again, I know this has been talked about in the past, but I'm sure half of our audience doesn't own a set of these, but everybody should. And that is a flash trigger. So you want to get your camera flash off your camera. So buy a set of triggers. And I've been through a whole range. I had my first set were Cactus, like the cheapest you could buy triggers. They worked fine. They were flimsy as hell. But I mean, they still work and did the job. So right now, and then I had the Pocket Wizards, which I found were, again, super expensive and not as fantastic as everyone in the past has made them out to be. So where I landed in was kind of like the in-between, which they're not giving them away, but they're certainly still inexpensive, and you can buy a whole whack of them and not break the bank. And that's the Yongnuo triggers. And Yongnuo makes tons. They make them for every kind of camera, but I use the Canon versions, the YN622Cs, but they work just fine for the Fuji as well. So you don't get the ability. You don't get all of the ETTL stuff, but they work just fine as manual triggers for the Fuji. You just have to set the intensity. But other than that, they're great. And I think for anyone starting out, it doesn't matter. You don't need the ETTL. So just get a set of even the most basic Yongnuos just to trip your flash off camera, and it opens up a whole new world of photography.
I will say the ETTL will actually make you a worse photographer, especially starting
out. Sure. Yeah, especially if you rely on it, yeah.
It's too many. It's also, I mean, yeah, you want to rely on it, but it's also too many variables that are solving themselves, but there's too many things that can go wrong that if you can't quite figure out what is not going correct, you might not know where to start and how to correct that.
And I can honestly say that in all the time I've had my triggers, I may have used the ETTL less than half a dozen times. So it's almost always manual. And the only time I can think of is when I shot a couple weddings that, you know, people are walking, I'm off camera flashing as they're moving, the light in the environment is changing constantly, and I'm just don't have time to solve it. And so therefore I'm going to shoot the ETTL and I'll just sort it out in post. That's the only situation like that. But usually if you're using off-camera flash, you just want to control all those variables. So no need for the ETTL. I'm going to say that.
It's funny that's what you started with, because the first thing on my list is actually a flash. Now, and that's why I asked you to be specific, because generally when we are assuming that you have, like, let's say you have a Canon DSLR of some sort, D80 or something like that, or 80D, or I mean, and maybe you bought yourself a 430 EX2 or 580 or whatever you bought an on-camera flash, awesome, love it. However, add to that, go ahead and find a used old flash. That's my suggestion for you, is to, even if you have that on-camera flash and you're going to take Adam's advice and get it off the camera, which is great advice, still pick up an old used flash. The Nikon SB series are my favorite. I can't even count how many. I'm going to say 8. I probably have 8 of them, ranging from the SB. I have an SB24. I have an SB25, I think I have 326s. 226s, I have 328s, and so on. So I have a bunch of the SBs and the different range of them. They range from almost free to not very expensive. I think generally, I don't know what it is in North America, but here you can pick them up. On the expensive end, you're going to probably pay $60 for an SB28, which is odd because 26 is my favorite. But an SB28 is a great, great flash, which you can get for under $60. You can find an SB24 for probably, I think I paid under $20 for mine. Really handy to have. Now that you bought the flash trigger that Adam told you to buy. So in order, in my favorite order, SB26 is my favorite. It's a fully functioning flash. You're going to use this in full manual mode. The trigger is just going to, all it's going to do is just trip the flash. You're not going to control anything, but the SB26 is extra special because in addition to being able to trigger it with a radio trigger, it also has a built-in optical trigger, which is awesome. Next up is the SB28, which is just a really great flash, very small, compact, and full-featured. That's fantastic. 24 is great. 25 is also good, but the pivot heads are kind of weird, and the 24 is a bit of a pain to scale by a third of a stop, and it only goes down to 1/16th power. So that's why it's $20. Still worth the price tag. Great to have it for off-camera flash, and you kind of don't really care about it. You go outside and it's raining, you throw a little plastic bag over it, you don't worry about it. Pick one up.
Okay.
And plus it forces you as a new photographer to learn some new tricks, how manual flash works. It will improve your photography immensely and quickly.
Right.
Of course, you're going to have to go out and buy your own trigger that Adam told you to. You're going to buy a stand, an umbrella, etc., but totally worth it. Go check one out. All right. Number two for you.
Okay, you probably have this one on your list as well, I'm guessing.
I doubt it.
It's flash gels. The one I have, the set I have is by Rogue, R-O-G-U-E.
I purposely left this off my list in case you put it on, because I absolutely love this choice.
Yeah, and it's relatively cheap. I don't know offhand how much on Amazon a set of these are, but it comes in almost like a little Velcro wallet, and you know how I like Velcro, right? So I'm just going to open it up for a sound effect, and it's basically all sorted into the different colors. You've got greens and reds and yellows and whatnot. And it's just, I mean, we talk about it over and over again in terms of, you know, using it to maybe match the ambient light in a room, or maybe just to add a creative flair to a photo. But in terms of bang for your buck, if you have that flash, they're perfectly sized. I know I've modified my flashes a little bit with little Velcro tabs so that I can just take the gels and then just stick them directly on. But they match the size of a flash head or a speed light head just perfectly. So great item that I would ask for. And if you don't get it from your loved ones, then just buy a set for yourself.
Also, I mean, this is a long shot now. It used to be it used to be simple. You walk over to your camera store and say, hey, do you have any of those Roscoe sample packs, or the Lee whatever filters make like a gel pack, a gel It was like a swath of that you would get for like carpet samples or something like that. But it's actually samples of all the different gels that they make. And a lot of it's stuff you can't use. You just throw it like some purple stuff, and they're huge. I don't even know how many are in there, but they all happen to be about the same size as a flash, the front of a flash. And so you can go through and pick out your favorites, the full CTO, half CTO, quarter CTO, the straws, the blue CTB. They're all included in there, which is what I did. Just pulled those out and I made my own. Add a little Velcro piece to it so it can basically attach to your flash, and that's the way to go. Now, Mr. David Hobbies, the strobist, basically told everybody to go to their camera store and get this, and so I think Lee and Roscoe stopped making them or stopped supplying them and now sell them. So if you can't find them, definitely worth picking up, as Adam said. Especially since the November monthly challenge, December monthly challenge is blue and orange. And guess what? Guess what's going to help you out in that scenario?
Flash shells.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And actually go ahead and take some time and go over to strobus.com and read what he has to say all about using color in light and shadow and that. It's an amazing read, and I can't recommend it highly enough.
Okay.
All right. So number two on my list is, you've heard Adam and I talk about this on the show and way too many times, buy yourself a beater. Buy yourself an old beat-up camera, just something you used. If you don't have one, go ahead and look on Craigslist, eBay, or the used. I cannot stress this enough. You go out there and you buy your, you go to the camera store and you buy all your brand new DSLR or whatever it is that you get. You're going to baby that thing, as you should. It's a substantial investment. You don't want to take it to the beach. You don't want to take it skiing. You don't want to take it, anywhere else you would go. You're worried about maybe it's going to get some sand in it. Maybe it's going to, get wet. Someone's going to steal it. If you have a beater, you no longer... Think about this. Back when you were in college or in high school or something, your first car, did you care where you parked it?
No.
Remember, like, you'd park... Like, we have a nice car. You're like, oh, I'm going to Safeway. I'm not parking it near the shopping carts because someone's going to bash into it.
That's very true, yeah.
I had my one of my trucks that I had. I remember coming out of me and my buddy are coming out of I forget where it came out of, a restaurant or something like that. And he looks at my car and I'm like big dent in the side of the truck. He's like, "Oh man, like did that just happen?" Yeah, I don't know. Did it? I don't know. Well, let's go. Let's just leave. And that's how that went, because I was like, I really don't know if that happened now or a year ago. I have no clue. It was just a beater, and I loved driving it. Didn't matter. I'd park it, wouldn't lock it. Didn't matter. I love that truck. Drive it anywhere. Got a lot of good times there. Now the same thing will happen with this camera. If you go out and buy something that you can beat the crap out of, something that you wouldn't mind losing. I'm not saying you want to lose it. I'm saying it wouldn't be the end of the world. You go buy a brand new DSLR, and then day three, you scuff it or get sand in it, you're going to be pretty upset. But you're going to miss out on a lot of shots that you never would have got before.
Right.
So scour, check out the Craigslist, do whatever you want. Find something cheap, under $100, which surprisingly you can get now. The wheelhouse, what I suggest that you look for, if you're a Canon user, I would use something that you have lenses for. That would be my suggestion. So if you are a Canon user, look for a 40D. I have a 40D. I bought brand new for much more than $100 12 years ago. But now I think you can find them for about $99 used. 40D is perfect. It's got most of the features that you want. It's not going to shoot video, but you don't care. You just want to shoot good photos. It's a crop sensor. That doesn't matter. You're going to shoot good photos. 30D is fine. The 20D is pretty decent, but there's a lot of improvements that got made from the 20 to the 30 to the 40. In my opinion, after the 40, it was sort of, lipstick on a pig. A lot of stuff that was nice, but you don't really need it. Obviously, the newer cameras have way better ISO and blah, 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 like low light noise reduction, et cetera, et cetera. The 40D is an excellent camera that you can get for, like I said, under $100.
Agreed.
Awesome.
I love everything that you're saying in terms of anything different to contribute. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I'm not up on the all of the cameras that are out there on the market, but there's so many in the last 5 years that would be absolutely great. So if you're a Nikon user, look for, an outdated Nikon, but if you've got decent lenses, you're off and running. And like you say, you're going to get shots that you wouldn't otherwise get. So definitely I can't say enough about the beaters because we've both had them and I've used different ones and I've been happy with all of them. So
we were on last summer, right? With as a Canadian baseball team in town. I think I told this story on the show and we took them out on the little gondola boats that we have that are Tubingen's famous for. And I brought my 40D, I brought my beater with me. And we're out there out on the river having beers and doing all kinds of stuff. And guys are jumping in the water and it's just as you do. And one of the guys was walking up and walking along the boat. He was going to go drive the boat for a bit, like with the big pole. And as he got to where my camera was sitting, he acted like it wasn't his fault. He accidentally just kicked the camera, like booted it, landed on the floor of the boat, and the lens hood came flying off. And one of the guys on our team was like freaking out, like, oh my God. And I didn't blink. I was like, oh yeah, what are you going to do? And he's like, I can't believe how cool you're being. I was like, well, first of all, I'm pretty cool. Second of all, yeah, it's a beater. Don't worry about it. Like, we're all good now.
Right.
And got some cool photos on the thing. I would never have brought my X100 on that because I knew it'd be going in the water. Like a pretty 95% chance that it's going in the river.
Right.
So no way I was doing it. So this time it was the 5%. It didn't go in, but still, if it did, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not dropping $100 a week on a disposable digital camera, but if you spend $100 and it lasts you a whole year where you just shoot the crazy heck out of it, I think you're going to be okay. Like, what did a roll of film used to cost, like, in the day?
I'm the wrong guy to ask.
Back in the day, like not just before digital became a thing, you'd go buy it. By the time you bought a roll of film and had it processed, had it printed, you're looking at about $24 for 24 frames. So $1 a photo. Okay. So you get yourself a beater, you out and you shoot 100 photos, which you will do, you're already ahead of where you would have been. Right. And those are 100 photos that you never would have taken. All right, next up, what do you got next?
Okay, so my last item is the one that I had sort of hinted earlier in the show, and that is get yourself an LED light. It is the next greatest thing to a flash. You won't use it as much as you'll use it in the flash, but it can do things that the flash cannot. It's obviously not putting out as much light, but it's great for still photography. You can use it for lighting video as well. And I would recommend getting one that has the ability to change the color temperature. So a lot of them now, I'm just looking on Amazon and right now
I bet you can't find one that doesn't change.
No, there are several that don't change. But again, the price we're talking now, I think when I bought mine, and I don't even remember the brand, but I bought mine from a photography store. It was a higher end one. It wasn't, basically a knockoff brand, but it was, I'm going to say close to $300, $250, something like that. You can now get something fantastic from looking around on Amazon for under $100. And what I would recommend is don't go too big if you plan on using it in the field, because the great thing about mine is it's very thin. It's double battery, so it's two batteries. So I've never been out with it and run out of battery, which is amazing. So it's working off two batteries. So I would check the reviews on battery life, and I would make sure that you get something that's not too thick, because the great thing that I love about mine so much is it fits into, like, we have the sort of sling camera backpack, which I can put you know, a full frame camera with, let's say, the 50 millimeter or the 85 on it, or I can actually even put the 70 to 200, but not a huge back or not a huge camera bag. And in the front pouch, I think everyone can visualize the front pouch of some of these camera bags. I can slide that LED light in perfectly. So that is what makes it for me. If you get something that's a bit too bulky, I think you're going to find that you don't take it with you. And that's the value in this, is that I have, it weighs next to nothing, under right. a pound, and it's nice and thin, slips in a pocket, and I can just pull it out and then dial in the temperature for whatever kind of photo I want. So love that thing. And yeah, for under $100 at the current price here, I can't imagine not buying another one.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to, right after we're done here, I'm going on Amazon, check. I mean, they know me. They're beating a path to my door anyway. So yeah, tell them to throw in a LED light. Now's the time.
Sure. Yeah.
I did. For me, I was more so, it was the battery was the big issue. Like, you know, like what batteries does it use? And what kind of timing does it get? How do you charge it, etc. So I'm going to pull the trigger on that.
Okay.
All right. And definitely, I can't see a scenario where you would not want to be able to dial in the color temperature. Like, yes, that's wild, worth the extra couple of bucks to make sure you can do that.
And I'm even seeing on, for those, the studio people who want to just do a studio, you know, continuous light studio setup. I mean, you know, I'm looking at, you know, three big LED panels, much bigger than what I have, plus three stands, barn doors on all three. We're talking the whole kit and caboodle for $300 now, which is crazy. Right. That's crazy, yeah, to me. Yeah.
Yes. Oh yeah. With all that thrown in, that's for sure. All right. My last one, my third one, again, I'm trying to keep this all very reasonably priced. And this one is a little bit off the beaten path. Buy a large frame. Most photographers, especially nowadays, just don't get prints made. And this is a shame. I love getting prints made. And, you know, why is it? Are you not? Why don't people get prints made, Adam?
That's a very difficult question for me to answer. Me personally, I think that it's all about wall space. So I go through, yeah, stages where I don't want to take down any of the photos that I have up now. So it gets very difficult as to where do I put that next framed photo.
That's a good point. I mean, because I'm also very conscious of not just how a photo looks, but how a photo looks in its frame, but then again, how that frame looks on the wall. Like, if it's too crowded, I find that it takes away from the actual photo. So I find myself in the same scenario where I'm like, all right, now what? I got to go buy another house, or what do you do here? Like, mm-hmm, that, then it gets expensive. Yeah. But also, a lot of people just kind of, I guess they don't have confidence, or think, you know, like, well, you know, that's fine on, you know, digital, but why would I spend money on getting it printed? Well, I don't know. It's been a while since I've had stuff printed in Canada. They do a great job here in Germany, and it is slightly north of free. Like, it is so unbelievably cost effective to get things printed here at a high quality.
Okay.
At a decent quality, anyways. I mean, the place I use, so, for example, what does an 8x12 cost at Costco?
Oh, I'm going to say like $3.
Okay, so there you go.
maybe $5. Costco is ridiculously inexpensive, yeah.
Okay, but I wasn't trying to set you up to one-up you. However, okay, the really, like a decent place here does it, it's 50 cents.
Wow. Yeah,
it's and then they go, and then it gets bigger from there. And so, for example, you know, I run into the situation where I can't if I get something printed 8x12, the standard frames here don't quite fit, because 8x12 is actually 20x30 in centimeters, and it's actually, the frames make it 21 for some reason. So I ended up getting two printed on a 30x45 and then cutting them in half. That's how I do it. But a 30x45, which is 12x18, is $1.25, and we're talking like that is a good looking print too. That's not some cheap crappy print. They do a very good job. So there's basically, at this point, there's no excuse to not get your photos printed. People love, it's like it's a dying art, I guess, or a dying form that people just do you see them on the phone? So then finally, hey, oh, great. Wow. They got them printed. That's kind of, that's something cool. I'll bet you the dog owners are going to get that dog photo printed if you didn't get it printed for them.
Yeah.
Is it on their wall yet?
No, I don't think so. They had to go right from the photo shoot out of the country.
Okay.
But when witness they get protection. Back, yeah, when they get back I'm sure it'll be possibly that one printed or one of, maybe they have a different favorite, but there's others.
Regardless.
Yeah. Something will get printed. Yeah.
So the encouragement is buy the photographer in your life, buy them a large frame, preferably with a mat in it. I happen to like mats in the photos.
Agreed. I'm a big fan of mats. Yeah.
Yeah. So do that. Buy them something like that. You're a large one here. Like I have a place I go to buy them. They're pretty, very simple frames that populate my entire house. What does it cost for like the big one? Like the big, I don't know how like big frame, big, very, very large frame it's under $20. And so that includes the mat built in. So then you're in for $1 for the printing. You're good to go. So very cheap, very cost effective. Buy them a frame and make them fill it. Hang it on the wall even. That's the hardest part is hanging it.
Yeah, for those in Canada, IKEA, great frames. Great place to buy.
We have IKEA as well, yeah. They have decent ones as well.
Well, and they're so, and again, in terms of cost effective, they're all very basic, black with white matting, and they have all sizes, and they are very inexpensive relative to what I've seen anywhere else. So...
You are proactive though. Like you are a proactive dude. So this wouldn't work for you. But for example, let's say if you were a bit on the lazy side, for example.
I am. I'm a little lazy.
Nah, you are and you aren't. It's in terms of the photos and stuff like that, you're not like getting stuff printed and making it happen. When you're an awful lot like me, where it's you're a big momentum guy.
Sure.
Now, if the train's moving, it's like, hey, look out, here it comes. Hard to get the train moving sometimes. That's the downside. Yeah. Like that's how I operate. I'm all in or I'm all out. It doesn't matter. But if I was your wife and I wanted pictures on the wall, I would buy a frame and hang it on the wall and say, hey, fill that for us. And then in 6 months, I would not be afraid to take that down and just take that picture out if I didn't, you know, and, hey, take something else. Like you will be encouraged to go out and shoot and print and you'll make better photos. I've heard that somewhere before. All right, so that's 3 and 3. I have a bonus one that I think both of us can agree on.
Okay.
Buy him a Two Hosers t-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
I say buy him. That sounded like I said buy him. I meant to say buy them.
Sure.
I wasn't being sexist there. I wasn't suggesting it just dudes.
Buy him
or her a Two Hosers t-shirt.
Yeah. You say it like, you know, maybe our listener base is not only dudes with cameras.
I have got emails from some women.
Okay.
All right. Let me rephrase that. Dudes posing as women.
Okay.
Yeah. In a prison. You have now a collect call from... Oh, is this Lompoc? What is this?
Sure. All right. For our female listener out there, buy your guy a Two Hosers shirt for Christmas.
You know Amber Pang's going to buy her dad a shirt.
Sure.
Okay. So point is, buy the shirt. I've evidently renewed interest lately. A few people have posted pictures of their new shirts. They're still available. They are high quality. The way we do this is you go on the site and you have to set all the parameters and I can actually decide which style of t-shirts you can buy. And so they have like the super low-end cheap ones and I lock those out. I was like, no, you can only buy this one kind because they're the high quality ones because I would like people to have high quality ones and then you can choose everything else. And so like you go on there, you can have any color you want as long as it's red. You're good. And that's on purpose because I want very specific. I want these high quality shirts. I want them in this branding, et cetera, et cetera. But point is, we appreciate people who have bought them in the past and wear them and they are high quality. So if you're looking for some extra stocking stuffer, jump on those and you can find those on our site. You can find the link to buy those.
Got it.
All right, that's what's up for Christmas. Now, reminder, monthly challenge for December is Blue and Orange. Hashtag that Two Hosers Monthly Challenge or hashtag Hey Hosers on Instagram. Even better, make sure to tag us at Two Hosers, and we will see that and talk about that in the new year.
Okay, for our next T-shirt design, though, I've got an idea.
I don't want to be that. I don't want to be those people who I do want to. We'll talk off the air, but I don't want to be the guy who sells a bunch of shirts and then goes, "All right, here's the alternate Canucks jerseys."
Okay, all right.
Yeah. Burry's not number 10 anymore. He's 96. So everyone buy a new jersey.
Okay, all right. You want to stick to the classic.
I appreciate our listeners. I don't want to do the old bait and switch.
All right. Okay. All right.
But we can talk about this. We'll talk off the air and we'll see if you might sell me on this.
Okay.
All right. Challenge next week is there is no challenge. Next week is the Christmas episode.
Yay!
Which means you can tune in and hear about nothing photography.
Or don't.
But the challenge for two weeks.
Save yourself the time. 2 weeks.
Don't do it. It's gonna be hilarious this year. I got some stuff on tap involving hang gliding.
Great.
Glass. I met a guy who can eat glass.
Awesome.
You know, it's all involved. Same guy, hang glider. Next week is the Christmas episode. The following week. Oh, I didn't have it. Did I have the challenge? Did I already post that challenge? I didn't write it down.
I don't know.
Should I say it now or what should we do? Well,
isn't there a monthly challenge that would be the one after that?
No. Oh, no. Because we were going to record it. It'll be before the end of the year. So, in 2 weeks, the challenge is the shortest day, because coming up next week is the shortest day of the year.
Okay.
So you interpret that however you like. Maybe it's just a 4x5 shot of a dog in a white background. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, it might be.
Whatever works for you.
Because I'm short on time on the shortest day.
Short on time on the shortest day. That's in 2 weeks. Websites. Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
You can find mine at AlanAtridge.com or the two of us at TwoHosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.